Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. On today's episode of Stands and Fits, we will talk about Iowa State's loss to Oklahoma State on senior night. Talk a little bit about Sean Miller and the situation that he is in right now down in Arizona. Iowa State's search for a new offensive coordinator, hot and not. And of course, would you rather? And another week with no bad beer. I actually had an opportunity to acquire a bad beer.
You didn't take it though?
No, I forgot to message the guy back.
Oh, okay.
His friend of the program, Ben. I've talked about him before.
Gotcha.
And he has a beer for us. He's actually had this beer for us for a while, and I've
been neglecting him for some reason.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
He was messaging me yesterday before the game, and I was on my way to Ames, and then I just kind of forgot about it.
I gotcha. So it's good to know that we have one in the holster if we need one.
Yeah. Bad beer will return soon. It will not return this week, though, here on Stands and Fits. Like I said, Iowa State lost last night to Oklahoma State. I think the final score is 80-71.
Mm-hmm.
Senior night at Hilton Coliseum. I don't have hardly any thoughts on the game.
Yeah, it's just another classic 2017-18 Iowa State where like they couldn't quite get over the hump. And when they needed to make a play, it seemed like the opposite of what needed to happen happened.
Yeah.
So it was kind of too bad to see. And then unfortunately, I tweeted about this too, but I felt a little bad that even so many people left before the senior night speeches. And I know, like, it's disappointing. Like, the season we've had by Iowa State standards is disappointing, and the season or the game last night was disappointing in itself. But at the same time, those guys are Cyclones. And they're not like Monte Morris,
yeah,
Nazmi Chulong, like, caliber. Like, they've not been here 4 years or anything like that, but they're still Iowa State Cyclones. So it's kind of disappointing to see that.
Yeah, personally, I was appalled that anyone would want to leave knowing that Jeff Beverly would be giving a speech.
Oh, yeah.
Shortly later.
His speech was, what, like a minute max, I want to say?
Yeah, but I can't. I mean, I can't.
And he can't say a whole lot.
I was saying, what is there for him to say? He's only been here 1 year.
But,
you know.
I mean, he did about what I expected, I guess.
Yeah, he was fine.
Yeah.
Hans was good. And then obviously Donovan Jackson's speech was the highlight of the evening, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ovation that he got before the game as well.
Big time.
I mean, I don't know. They didn't play very well. And at this point, we've talked about how they didn't play very well a lot of times.
Yeah, like, we've said the same things about Iowa State because it seems like the same problems plague them week in and week out.
Right. Well, yeah, when they lose a game, it's just it feels like all of their losses have kind of run together at this point, you know.
Yep.
Last night was weird, though, because at the end of the game, after Oklahoma State hit that shot to go up 10, the three.
The Carroll.
Yeah, yeah. Like at the end of the shot clock.
Yep.
It was so quiet. I looked at Chris. I was like, I've never heard it this quiet in here.
No, because like at that point, like you still had that little glimmer of hope. It's like, oh, hey, if they hit a shot, they're, you know, within a possession or two. But then that happened, and it's like, yep, there's no winning now.
Well, and for him, he was like, he's like, well, you weren't here during the McDermott era. He's like, it was this quiet for the entire game.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, when I've been here, I've never experienced it being this quiet.
Yeah,
I can say
definitely. I would agree with that.
For sure. Do you have anything else you want to say about that?
Not really. I mean, you just got to – heart goes out to Donovan Jackson. I thought his speech, honestly, like, given how emotional he was probably, you know, thinking of his dad the whole time, he did a great speech. So,
yeah,
proud that Donovan wore the Cardinal gold.
For sure. Yeah, and we talked a lot last week about the legacy that he'll leave at Iowa State.
Yep.
And we'll look back fondly on the career of Donovan Jackson, even though his senior season didn't really go the way that everybody hoped that it would. Sticking with Iowa State here for a second, Tom Manning breaks over the weekend that he was leaving to be the offensive or to leaving the offensive coordinator position at Iowa State to be the tight ends coach for the Indianapolis Colts. That news became official yesterday with the announcement of his hiring, and Iowa State's looking for a new offensive coordinator.
Yep. So from what we were talking before we came on the air here, it sounds like you think that they will stay within the current staff.
Yeah, I mean that's my guess.
Okay.
That just seems like the best way to go about it to me.
Yeah.
With as late as it is and the guys that they already have in there,
yep,
you know. It's not like they need to go hire somebody new to be the offensive line coach or anything like that, you know.
Yep. And then something that I saw on the forums after the Manning news broke was people were worried that, you know, hiring within the staff, you know, like promoting a person hasn't worked well for Iowa State in the past. Like they brought up the, you know, the Courtney Messingham
yeah
fiasco. But
that was like going from Jeff Gordon driving your car, though, to
Kevin Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, exactly. No, yeah,
pretty much.
To Courtney Messingham driving your
exactly.
race car.
Anyone.
And even then, your race car was really beat up. It looked like it belonged at Adams County Speedway and not on the Iowa Speedway.
Yeah.
You know, so.
But like the point that I made was, though, the difference between hiring from within with this staff, which seems to have it together so much better than the Rhodes staffs ever did.
Yeah.
It's definitely different in a good way.
I felt like a lot of the Rhodes staff, like, it was just plugging in. It was like picking and plugging pieces.
It was kind of like, you know, like you have your hand over your eyes and you're kind of like throwing darts at the wall kind of thing too.
Like they would replace a coach and they'd bring in a guy and it's like, no, you know, maybe one or two of them had worked together previously, but really other than that, like they didn't have any sort of connection to each other.
And I used to remember like the media back then used to push it as like, oh yeah, those like, you know, two random staffers used to work together. And like, that was a big deal back then. It's just like, wow, that's good that they know they have some familiarity, but at the same time, it's like,
or it's like the Mangino situation where he comes in, brings a bunch of dudes with him, and then they turn out to be not very good.
Yeah, the point is that none of those in the past really worked, but I think that hiring from within now is an okay move for Iowa State.
Well, and all these guys kind of came up together, you know, and I think they share a lot of the same
philosophies.
Yeah. And Campbell's an offensive guy, so I don't see him just like handing the reins to some random dude and being like, here you go, man. It's all you.
Yeah. Like, you know? if needed, I'm sure Campbell could call an entire game like himself. It's just like for all the other stuff that they have to do, like for offensive coordinators, you know, want someone else to do that.
Right. So I think that whoever ends up getting the job will be fine.
Yeah.
I mean, and you've got a pretty dang good group of guys coming back to kind of
cushion
the blow there.
It's not like Tom Manning was like the second coming of, you know, the best, you know, offensive coordinator in the world either.
And that's what we talked a lot about, or I talked a lot about with Jay on the podcast I did earlier this week. You know, they had two of the most productive offenses in program history, but at the same time, there was a lot of things that they could work on to be better going into next year, you know?
For sure. And I think, like, when I heard that Manning was going, like, the part that made me worry the most was the offensive line.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, he won the national award a couple years ago. But at the same time, if this Jeff Myers, is he official yet?
I don't believe it's official, but it's
going to happen.
Yeah, it's unofficially official, I think.
So he's been basically being Tom Manning Jr. for the last year or two.
Yeah,
so it's,
2 years, really.
He knows what Manning would have done, and he'll probably have some ideas of his own as well. So it'll be fine.
Yeah, I don't see this being a sky is falling type situation.
Definitely not.
All right, we'll completely change gears. Those are the two Iowa State things to touch on, though, right?
I believe so, yeah.
Oh, I do have one last thing. Shout out to Bridget Carlton. Unanimous first team All Big 12 selection today.
Congratulations, Bridget.
Second year in a row, first team All Big 12 player.
She's going to be probably on the Canadian basketball team for many years to come, I would think.
Yeah, she's going to be one of the all-time greats, for sure. I mean, if they can put a good team around her next year, they've got some good pieces to be pretty good.
She's a junior, right?
Yeah, she's a junior, and they really only lose two people. So if some other people can step up, you know, there's potential to be pretty good.
There you go.
For sure. So, yeah, that's Bridget Carlton. Congrats to her. Two-time All Big 12 first team selection. And then now getting to the story that has dominated the college sports headlines over the last week, 5 days. Friday turned into like an ultimate Friday news dump for college basketball investigation leakers.
Yeah.
And I want to know your thoughts on this, because I have some thoughts. And before I was all in on this investigation, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be awesome. You know, it's going to level the playing field back in college basketball.
Yeah.
Or at least it's going to force someone to bring some change. Now, like, that we've gotten 5 days away from the last new stuff to come out, I'm starting to wonder if this isn't that big of a deal.
I believe you were the one that linked a thread on Twitter of like the guy explaining that
Steve Dace
he thinks it's the FBI just like casually leaking these things just to get the public outrage so they can continue forward with this.
Yeah.
And I think I agree with that, because while I think there is more to come, I don't think they have as much evidence as they probably need right now to go forward with it.
Exactly. And I think this whole deal with ESPN, have you heard about this?
Mm-mm.
About how, okay, so Mark Schlabach is the one that initially reported that Sean Miller was on an FBI wiretap talking to Christian Dawkins, the runner for the, what is it, AEM?
Yep.
The Andy Miller,
like that,
Andy Miller
yeah.
agency, whatever it is. Saying that he wanted to pay DeAndre Ayton $100,000 to go to Arizona.
Yeah.
That was what the initial report was. But it's coming out more and more from other people saying that Christian Dawkins did not have any sort of relationship with DeAndre Ayton to where it would you'd be going through him to get $100,000 to Ayton to go to Arizona.
Really?
He also, what the initial report was, is that it was to get him to go to Arizona, but at the time that these phones were allegedly tapped, or were tapped from what they say, Ayton would have already been signed with Arizona, would already have been coming close to when he was going to be coming to campus. So it wouldn't make very much sense that they're going to pay him after he's already signed.
Yeah.
So the theory that I've started to see now is that what actually is on those wiretapes is that Christian Dawkins was approaching Sean Miller saying he would pay Sean Miller or DeAndre Ayton, whatever, $100,000
to join his agency
to get Ayton to ultimately join that agency when it did come time for him to go to the NBA.
I gotcha.
And that I almost wonder if Schlabach misheard, because we don't have, I mean, it doesn't seem like he's heard the tapes.
No.
From what everything that I've read and everything that I've listened to, he has just been told what is on these tapes.
Probably by someone close to the FBI.
Exactly. Either somebody close to the FBI or somebody close to the defendants.
Mm.
So I can't imagine. So I don't know. It like has really muddied the waters for me on this. And ESPN has issued two corrections, because he went on to TV and said this happened in 2016. No. Yeah, he said it happened in 2016. And then they said he meant 2017 or early 2017. Mm. But then even then, it still didn't fit the time frame of when they had supposedly tapped these phones. And then they just changed it again. So they corrected it and then corrected the correction.
Yeah.
And that makes me feel like they're backing away from what they initially reported.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I said, I'm not convinced that this is going to be, if that is what happened and they still paid him $100,000, then that is, Sean Miller will still get fired. But it's not the bombshell biggest story in college basketball of like the last 15 years
yeah.
that it would have been.
Yeah. Well, and that comes back on ESPN too. It's like, it kind of is a reflection of what the modern day sports media is. Like, if you have a huge story like this and, you know, it's anywhere close to being real, then of course an ESPN is going to be want to be going out and breaking
right.
it.
Well, and Yahoo is kicking their ass on this deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Pete Thamel and Pat Forty, every other day they were doing a breaking, you know,
yeah.
documents showed
Monte Moore's involved.
Yeah. Documents show
dropping names
mass,
and stuff.
Mass conspiracy in college basketball or whatever
yeah.
it was that they were saying, 20 to 25 major coaches implicated. And so it was like every other day they were getting that. And then ESPN's probably seeing that and they're like,
we need some of this
right,
too.
We need some of this too. And you almost just wonder if somebody told him something and mm-hmm. he misunderstood what he was told.
Mm.
And I don't know. And then the fact that DeAndre Ayton has apparently cooperated with the investigation this entire time too.
Yeah.
So that makes me feel like there's not as much to that as what ESPN initially presented it as.
I know that
jeez.
I know that Sean Miller didn't coach in one of their games last week. Is he back now?
No, he's missed practice. Excuse me, at least both the first 2 days of the week.
Okay. But DeAndre,
and I don't think they expect him to play tomorrow.
But Ayton
or to coach tomorrow.
Himself has not been affected at all. Like
right.
they've said he's eligible.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. That makes me think that Ayton might not have gotten any money, might not have been involved in this at all.
Yeah.
But that agent might have paid Sean Miller $100,000 to get Sean Miller to push him towards that agency.
That would make more sense.
And that's going to get Sean Miller fired if that's what happened.
Yep. So that makes you wonder, is that what is mainly going on elsewhere in college basketball too? Like
right.
the situation you just described.
Because then I don't feel like there will be as much like vacating wins and stuff like that if it's not actually the players that are taking this stuff.
Yeah.
Like with Miles Bridges, whatever it was $40 or something like that, $400. He paid $40 to a charity, and then the NCAA reinstated him.
Yeah.
And that was it. Like, that's all that it took.
Yeah.
And for them to have already gone through the NCAA in order to do that, then that makes me feel like a lot of, at least what we've seen at this point, is not going to be, you know, this world-changing thing that we've made it out to be for 6 months or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. It's the kind of thing that it sounds really bad right now, but there has to be a reason that it all hasn't just come tumbling out at this point.
Well, and it's easy for something like this to sound really bad in the headline, you know, or like really crazy in a headline.
Yeah.
But then once you read more of the story, it's just like, okay. Mm. And with those dinners and stuff that are supposedly on Christian Dawkins' expense reports that he put in. I mean, he could say anything on an expense report. You know, he's like, I had dinner with this guy. And maybe you just, and it's like the thing with Monta. He said that he ran into Christian Dawkins, but he didn't ever actually eat with him or anything like that. And so it's just like, they could have happened to be in the same restaurant. And then Christian Dawkins, it goes and tells his boss, like, oh, I talked to Monta Morris today.
Yeah. Well, and it's like another thing to think about too, is someone made the point that just listing that you had a lunch or a dinner with these prospects in a spreadsheet, not saying whether you paid for it too, that seems a little weird to me, doesn't it?
Yeah. See, and that's what I'm saying. Like, that just, it feels like there's a lot of details
missing
that are, not that they're necessarily missing, but they're being skimmed over for the, like the impact or like the scare effect of it, you know?
Yeah. But that's what sells, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the headline is what gets you to click on it.
Yep.
You know? And I don't know. Like I said, I feel as these things leak out, I feel less and less like there's actually going to be something crazy that will come out of this.
Yeah.
And maybe there will be some huge bombshell that will drop. What the only things that I think could really be like, I don't know, really change something is if they released one of those audio files.
Yeah.
One of the wiretaps, and actually had somebody's voice on there talking about paying somebody or something like that. That's the one thing that I look at and I'm like, man, okay, that could really blow this whole thing up and it make it a lot more believable.
Hopefully one thing to come of this, no matter like if this is not as bad as they say or does come out to be really bad, no matter what, hopefully it will make people like that are doing some of these things on like the backside of things a little more scared to do it.
Or it will make like I said, the further and further this goes on and more we hear from Mark Emmert and people like that, the more and more I feel like this isn't going to lead to any sort of change in the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't going to give in.
No. Then, those play dumb, honestly. That's what they do.
Right. And
They know how bad it is that they're profiting off these athletes, calling them quote unquote amateurs, even though.
But
clearly not.
Do they?
The NCAA.
I'm not sure that they do realize that what they're doing is wrong.
Oh, they don't realize it, but they definitely profit.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah, they definitely profit. Yeah, but I don't think that. I mean, maybe even if they do realize, they don't care.
Like, have they brainwashed themselves just to that point?
See, and that's what I'm saying. Like, Mark Emmert's going to make $3 million this year.
Yeah,
and he doesn't care. You know, he can go give some song and dance about how I care about these student athletes and I'm glad that they're getting their education and all this stuff like that. But that doesn't change the fact that they should be able to profit off their likeness. And they're controlling these things that, in my opinion, they shouldn't have any right to control.
I'm with you there.
I don't know. I want to see it change something. Mm. But I feel like there's too many factors going against it at this point with what we've seen to really get anything to change.
Yeah. Part of me wants to see like everything come out and just to blow up the entire thing. And then part of me, I don't know.
See, I wish that it didn't come out in bits and pieces.
Yeah.
I want it to just be one big thing drops and we've got everything, you know? And I know that can't really happen just because of how everything, you know, a lot of the stuff's on protected order and stuff like that. But it would make the whole, like I said, the whole thing, the idea of it actually changing something would be a lot more believable if we could see more of the stuff.
Well, if you're the FBI, like you announced that you're investigating college basketball for all this stuff. I don't know, whatever it was, like middle of last year.
It was in September.
So in September, I would think that if there was something there, you would just silently like gather all the facts, put together your case, and then drop it all.
Yeah, and that's what – but then it comes down to the discussion of taxpayer money. And it's like, if they don't get anything out of it, you know, like what was the point of all this?
Yeah.
And I don't know if you read what Charlie Pierce wrote for Sports Illustrated. Do you know who Charlie Pierce is?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's like a legendary columnist. Met him at the Big 12 tournament
did you?
In 2015. Him and Mark Titus.
Oh, nice. I know Mark Titus. Yeah,
what a duo.
Yeah.
Charlie Pierce is like probably 70 years old or something.
I got
something
you.
Close to that. But
all right.
He wrote about how essentially the FBI has become the NCAA's enforcement arm. And how that's wrong. Because
yeah.
And he talks about these other things that had happened in sports where people had used their influence to get the FBI to do something for them that technically is not what you would want the FBI to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's not what the FBI's job actually is. And for some reason, they're out there scaring people about in pro baseball and things like that.
Yeah.
And it's like somebody at the NCAA has a buddy at the FBI and was able to get them to do this. And it was all the NCAA trying to scare these, do exactly what you just said, scare people out of breaking the rules.
Yeah. Well, if the FBI is the one enforcing them, then like the NCAA can just sit back and just let them do
exactly because they know they don't have any power.
Yeah.
You know, and them doing what they do, it's been proven that it doesn't change anything.
Mm-hmm.
How many teams have they put sanctions on? How many teams have vacated wins? And yet we're still having this same discussion every couple of years.
Yeah.
Like vacating wins doesn't do. SH word.
Yeah.
It doesn't do anything.
Unless you find it out like that season, which rarely ever happens.
Right. The only reason, and they can talk about vacating records and vacating championships and stuff like that. The only reason that you ever even talk about how your name is in the record books or your name is in the NCAA history books as a national champion is to remember it.
Mm-hmm.
But people, that doesn't mean people forget, you
yeah.
know? It's still there.
Yeah.
We still know Louisville won the national championship.
Yeah.
We still know Memphis went to the Final Four in 2008. We still know that Michigan went to the Final Four in 92-93.
Yeah. The tangible things like the banners come down, but the memories stay.
Yeah. And that's just what do you like what
it's like, "Oh, shucks. Such a harsh punishment."
Right, exactly. And I know that it hurts the people that actually lived it.
Mm.
To an extent. I mean, I know if anybody that's seen like the Fab Five documentary, you can clearly see that those guys are affected by the fact that their banners don't hang in the Chrysler Center anymore.
Yep.
But at the end of the day, they didn't have to give anything else back from all of that. Their banners just aren't hanging in the gym anymore.
Yeah.
You know? And I don't know. That's just my 2 cents on that whole deal. Kind of went on a rant.
No, that's fine. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure more will come out about it, but the question is how big?
Yeah. All right, we'll do Hot and Not when we come back here on Stands and Fits.
Hey, guys, it's Chris. Want to take a quick break on this podcast here at Cyclone Fanatic to tell you about my friends at Ames Eye Clinic in Des Moines Eye Care. These are great fanatics. They are jumping on board, supporting what we are doing here. You know why? Because you guys support them. They accept all sorts of medical and vision plans. A couple of convenient locations located in Ames and also in Des Moines. AmesEyeClinic.com, DesMoinesEyeCare.com. They offer same-week appointments. They can do anything from a routine vision exam to a medical eye exam. They've got a large selection of eyewear, also for your contact lenses. So if you're in the need for some eye care, I want to tell you about our friends at Ames Eye Clinic and Des Moines Eye Care. Support them because they support Cyclone Fanatic. Now, back to the Cyclone Fanatic podcast.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits. Time for Hot and Not. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll go first this week.
Okay.
All right. So on Sunday, I went and did my second ever escape chamber in Des Moines. Have you ever done an escape chamber? Out of curiosity?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
I don't think I would like it.
You don't think so? Why not? Before I go on anymore, why wouldn't you like it?
I don't know.
Are you claustrophobic?
Not necessarily claustrophobic,
okay.
But I just don't think I would like that very much.
Okay. So it's like you don't like the brain like games kind of?
Yeah, I mean, I like brain games, but I think I would that wouldn't be a very enjoyable thing for me.
Fair enough. So anyways, it was my hot.
Okay.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I respect that.
So the one thing that I noticed, they've added, like since the first time I went and did a room called Black Ops.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like army themed. You have to like find like secret codes or whatever, that kind of thing.
Okay.
It was good. This time I did a gambling themed room. So it was like a poker table and like, you know, cards and chips and all that stuff. It's fun. They've added a lot of rooms since the first time that I'd went, but at the same time, there's no sports rooms yet. And I think that's like a win, you know, it's like, there's gotta be something sports themed that they can tap into that would draw in the sports fans of the world. Maybe you'd be more interested in going if there was a sports themed room.
What, how, okay. So how are we gonna put this together?
I mean, there's gotta be something like, you're the offensive coordinator of Iowa State football. You need to find the playbook.
Yeah.
Housed somewhere in this.
Do you do this
room.
By yourself, or do you have?
No,
somebody
you
with you,
you go with usually with a group of people.
Okay.
So our group was four people: me, my wife, and then one of my friends and his girlfriend.
Okay.
So
how long did it take you to get out?
So you you get an hour max time, and if you don't get it within an hour, then
they kick you out and say
you fail.
See you later, losers.
Yeah, but we got out technically with like 3 minutes left. So cutting it a little bit close, and we had to, they give you so many hints when you get stuck, and we used all of our hints, so it was kind of like cheating in a way, but technically we did make it out. So
well, I'm glad that you made it out and you're not stuck in the room still.
Well, yeah, they physically let you out of the room.
Okay.
So
do they tell you if you don't solve it? Do they tell you how you could have solved
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. Like the first one that I did, the army themed one. We were on the last step basically, and I'm not going to tell you what the last step was just because anyone's listening, you know, don't want to spoil it.
Yeah.
But
spoiler alert,
they come in and they show you what you needed to do and then they let you out. So it's pretty chill.
What if they just kept you there forever? It's like you had 1 hour. Now you're locked in for the rest of your life.
Then you could sue.
But you're locked in the room.
Then you could have your phone. Hopefully it lasts on its charge and you get the authorities to come in.
Yeah. Oh man.
So anyways, it was good. If you're like into brain games, which apparently you still are, but
no,
you're
I'm not, sure it would be fine. I just, I don't know.
Don't knock it till you try it.
Okay. I'm not knocking it. I don't.
Okay. Fair enough. Just you're not like chomping at the bit to get out there.
No, yeah, no.
I gotcha.
Okay.
But if I'm telling other listeners, not named Jared,
I probably would enjoy it if I went. I don't know. I'm just being a curmudgeon
today. There's other things that you could do.
I'm pissed at the NCAA and I'm pissed at the FBI.
That's true.
It's
I should have saved this hot for a more positive themed podcast. Maybe you'd be in the mood better.
Everything's going bad. We're just talking about Iowa State losing. Talking about the offensive coordinator leaving.
Yeah, that's true. There's, you know, honestly, we on a lot of these podcasts in the last few weeks, we've not had a
we've
whole
been
lot.
Very
of
dark. Yeah,
it's like, and that's just because the way Iowa State's been.
Yeah,
and a lot of the national stories.
Part one is always like the sad fest.
Really set the tone. Yeah, and then people can tune in like after the break and be like, oh, here they're gonna finally start talking about some happy things.
And sometimes we do, and sometimes we don't.
Yeah.
All right, my hot this week. I don't know if you've seen this guy on Twitter.
I have,
but his name is Andrew Miller. He apparently writes for FanSided. He has 10,000 followers. These are the only qualifications that I found for him.
10,000 followers is a lot, man.
Yeah.
For a personal Twitter account.
He does follow 9,000 people, but that's...
So he's a follow-back kind of guy.
Yeah, apparently. But he has, in the past several weeks, been making these lists of college football things. And he's put Iowa State on a lot of these lists. I've listed out the lists.
Yeah.
He has Iowa State on his teams who will continue to make headway in 2018. I don't exactly know what that means. I just assume it means they'll continue to improve.
They're on the rise, I suppose.
Underrated teams to get excited about in 2018. Dark horses that have...
I mean, it's basically the same thing. I was just going to say.
Dark horses that have a legit shot at the 2019 college football playoff. That one might be... No, never mind. That's my second personal favorite. Top 10 dark horse Heisman candidates. When you hear that, you would think
David Montgomery.
But no, it's Kyle Kemp. Number one on his top 10 programs on the rise, David Montgomery is his number one established starter who needs more attention. Kyle Kemp, his number two most underrated player entering 2018. Number two team that needs more hype entering 2018. And finally, the number one most underrated fan base. So here's my question for you. Do you think that he truly believes these things, or do you think that he's trying to fish for retweets from a passionate fan base like Iowa State?
I would say both. I believe that I looked over his profile and he went to Oklahoma State, didn't he?
Yeah.
So he's in Big 12 country. So he would definitely be aware of what's going on at Iowa State. So I do think that some of this is real and he's seen like the marked improvement of Iowa State's program. But at the same time, and I've seen this with other accounts on Twitter, like pro football focused college especially, like it seems like literally every week since the end of the season,
they've tweeted about Dave Montgomery.
Yeah. And I think there's a little bit of, you know, Iowa State fans are going to pick it up. They're going to retweet it.
Well, yeah, every time that they tweet about Dave Montgomery, it's like, oh, yeah. I'm going to retweet that again.
Exactly, because it's like Iowa State fans love bragging about their good players and stuff like that.
Right. Can we both agree that the top 10 Dark Horse Heisman candidates...
Oh, my gosh. Kyle Kemp?
Inclusion of Kyle Kemp is... I mean, nothing against Kyle. I think Kyle could have a very good senior year.
Oh, yeah.
But...
Like, he could have, like, an all-Big 12, like... You know,
he already was all-Big 12 honorable mention this year.
Yeah, I mean, like, actually make a team.
Yeah, make first or second team.
But, yeah.
Maybe not first team, but be a second team type guy.
Definitely. But...
But the idea of him being a Dark Horse Heisman candidate... feels like it's like if you try to do the splits after you haven't stretched in 25 years.
Yeah. Well, because he's already hamstrung because Iowa State's never been such a great passing offense. Like even our wide receivers, if you look like at Oklahoma State in the same conference, like Oklahoma State's leading wide receiver, whether it's James Washington or like
Dez Bryant
or something like
James
that.
James Blackman.
They literally always have like double the receiving yards, double the touchdowns of any leading Iowa State receiver just because they play in Oklahoma State's offense.
Yeah.
So Kyle Kemp's stats are going to be bad. The only way, or bad compared to, you know, other teams, but the only way that he can legitimately get into a Heisman conversation is if Iowa State goes undefeated, basically.
That's what I was going to say. That's the only way I could even imagine that.
Yeah.
And even then... If Iowa State goes undefeated, I would think that David Montgomery had a way bigger year than Kyle Kemp did.
I agree.
So
David Montgomery needs to be on the Dark Horse Heisman candidate.
Right. And that when I was first reading it, that's what I was expecting to see. Because by the time he tweeted that one, he had tweeted a lot of these things that included Iowa State already.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, David Montgomery's going to be on here. And then I saw Kyle Kemp, and I was just kind of like,
So that makes me really think that he's fishing for retweets, because if he would have put David Montgomery on there, yeah, he would have gotten retweeted by Iowa State fans. But putting Kyle Kemp on there,
yeah,
it's like an Iowa State fan who reads that's going to be like, oh my gosh, Kyle Kemp, someone thinks he's going to be a Heisman candidate next year.
If Kyle Kemp becomes Iowa State's first Heisman Trophy winner, I will get Kyle Kemp's face tattooed on my body.
I'll do more than that. I'll buy a round for everyone who names Iowa. Honestly, like
what, 60,000 people?
Yeah, I'm that confident that Kyle Kemp won't win the Heisman. I mean, nothing against Kyle. Love Kyle. He could have a great year, but he's not going to win the Heisman.
Yeah, that's
it's an almost sure thing. So,
but I respect Andrew's hustle by including Iowa State on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of his list.
And by the way, I must mention occasionally I visit Iowa boards just to see what's going on.
One of those guys.
See what rustles their jimmies.
You're the guy that all the Cyclone fans hate, the Iowa fan that all the Cyclone fans hate on Cyclone Fanatic.
Well, I don't know because I don't post.
Oh, okay, okay.
I visit there, see what they talk about. I don't post.
You just want to know if they're saying bad things about you, don't you?
I have went there for that reason before, and they have.
Yeah, believe that.
Pretty much everyone on Cyclone Fanatic staff.
Yeah, but, I believe that as well.
But... I lost my train of thought. But yes, okay. They saw these tweets from this Andrew Miller guy.
Yeah.
And they ripped him to shreds.
I would say they were not impressed. I would imagine they were not impressed by this stuff.
But I mean, at the same time, it's like we rational Iowa State fans also realize the ridiculousness of what he's trying to do here. So
yeah. I mean, I respect the hustle. It's cool to see Iowa State on all these lists because, I mean, at least it means that people are paying attention, even if it's just one guy in Oklahoma.
Mm.
But I was laughing at that.
Big time.
All right. So, yeah, Andrew Miller, my hot this week.
Good hot. All right. My not this week. Actually, I need to check in on this one. Can you, like, fill, like, 10 seconds of time?
Yeah. I'll just do my first hot.
Okay.
So, Lonzo Ball this week gets my not. I have two of them, but he gets my not.
Okay.
So, allegedly... Lonzo lost a shooting contest to Lil Bow Wow.
I think there was video of it, wasn't there?
Yeah. And Lonzo tried to say he lost one out of three. So he won the series two out of three.
Uh-huh.
But Lonzo Ball is an NBA player, number 2 pick in the draft. And Lil Bow Wow was in like Mike
And that was like 15 years ago. Dude.
Oh, man.
If you ever go in the first round of the NBA draft, no matter like how bad of a shooter you are, you should never lose to Lil Bow Wow.
Especially if you're a point guard who is supposed to be a good shooter.
Yeah. Like he over the last, I don't know, like 10 or 15 games, something like that, I think he's been shooting 40% from the three-point line or something like that.
Yeah.
So he's been a good shooter recently.
Well, and how offended he got when he was asked about this, because that's how I first saw it, is I saw a video of him talking about it in like interviews or something. Makes me believe he really got
beat. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He would react to it more like a joke if it was a joke, but right. It's not a
Definitely
joke.
Definitely not a joke.
Yeah.
He really got beat in a shooting contest by Lil Bow Wow.
Yep.
I don't know that there's any celebrity more random to lose a shooting contest to.
Because
Lil Bow Wow, I want to say he won one of the celebrities All-Star Game MVPs.
Oh, did he?
At some point, but it was, you know,
so he can,
a while ago.
He has a little bit of
hoop. Actually was a good hooper, I think.
Yeah, so he's got a little bit of hoop stuff, but like he hasn't really been in the media really like prominently since like Mike, right?
He was on Entourage. He tried to make a comeback at one point,
as
Bow Wow, not Lil Bow Wow anymore.
That's right, because he changed his name to Lil Romeo or something like that at one point.
No, Lil Romeo is another guy.
Is it? Oh,
yeah, that's just one of the Lils from the early 2000s.
I'm just disconnected from the rap game, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was almost 20 years ago, so
yeah.
Lil Bow Wow, man. Like Mike's actually a phenomenal movie.
It was. I actually really liked that one. Like yeah. My favorite part was when he went up to Allen Iverson and they were like battling on
yeah.
the court.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's great. Like the whole idea of it is so ridiculous, but I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Much better than Thunderstruck, the knockoff like Mike.
Yeah, the KD one.
Yeah,
yeah. I never ended up watching that one.
Don't say his name. Don't
Sorry.
Say his name.
Oh, I said KD. I didn't say his name.
That's enough.
That's just two random letters grouped next to each other. Don't worry about it.
Okay.
So I've checked up on Minot. Thanks for allowing me the time to do this. So I must say that currently, Iowa basketball at this time is beating Illinois by 5 points in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads me to say that yes, my knot is still in effect. There's going to be a great joke if Iowa lost the game tonight.
If they lost the game or win the game?
If they lost the game.
Okay.
If Iowa lost the game tonight, then it would be, I believe, the first time that Iowa basketball did not play at all in March since like 1938.
Did you do the research to find this out?
I had some help from a friend, Jared, over at Wide Ride Natty Light.
Uh-huh.
But yes, like I went all the way back to 1950 in sportsreference.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then he actually asked Iowa's SID for the last time that they didn't play in March. And I'm pretty sure it was 1938. So
did he tell him he was from Wide Ride Natty Light? I'm surprised the guy got back to it.
I don't think so. But anyways, so that's the thing. Including postseason, Iowa, if they lose to Illinois, there's still 12 minutes left in the game, then Iowa State fans can turn it around and be like, this is the January Bowl game that Iowa fans always make fun of Iowa State fans for. You know, it's like this stupid, really dumb stat that, you know, because the Big 12 doesn't have near as many bowl slots in January as the Big 10, so Iowa State doesn't get as many chances to qualify for a bowl game in January. The Big 10 tournament's just technically in the last week of February, starts in the last week of February. If Iowa loses, they're not going to keep on playing. They're not going to any postseason tournament, so.
You're not doing much to help your image on the Iowa message boards.
They don't know that I am on the Iowa message boards.
I mean, I'm sure that there's someone that gets on those boards that's listening to this podcast right now, and they do now.
I don't think so. I think this is an Iowa fan free zone.
I would like to think so.
Personally, I think that they would be really stupid if they listened to every Stands and Fits every week. But I would also applaud them because they have good taste in podcasts. So, so anyways, I'm just saying. So, bottom line conclusion here: if Iowa loses, Iowa State fans need to be sure to hold over Iowa fans' heads that they didn't play at all in March this year.
You really brought your troll game today.
I did.
I respect it.
Thank you.
All right, my bonus knot: the Big Ten tournament. Sticking on this line, There were tickets for tonight's session as low as $1.50 on the third market.
That is insane.
Yeah.
If you were a random New Yorker who is a college basketball fan, general college basketball fan, you would go to the Big Ten tournament for $1.50, right?
Apparently not, because I saw the pictures of the arena and there's not anybody there.
That's crazy to me.
There's like,
man.
I think I saw that there's 4,000 people there for the Iowa-Illinois game.
Jeepers. I mean, and how many of those fans like actually made the trip from Iowa or Illinois? Probably like
1,000, maybe.
Yeah, I was gonna say 100.
Yeah,
a few hundred. Who?
Thank God for Kansas City.
Yeah, I know. The Big 12 tournament is by and far, I think, the best conference basketball tournament in America.
The ACC would be the only one that would even come close.
But even then, I think the Big 12 is still better.
Yeah. I mean, I agree.
Yeah.
But I'm saying that's the only other one that would even be in the conversation.
Because the Big 10 obviously doesn't come anywhere.
The old Big East is probably the best, like ever. But the Big 12 is the...
Because
the
that was at Madison Square Garden, no?
Yeah, and that's why the Big 10 had to move their tournament, was because the Big East, the new Big East, still plays their conference tournament.
And they play when they're supposed to play conference tournaments.
Right, exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. So yeah, Big Ten tournament,
not a hot ticket.
Not going so hot for them out in New York City.
Nope.
Shockingly. All right, would you rather? I've got the questions this week. Did I do them last week or did...
No, you did.
I'm pretty sure
I did, yeah.
All right. Would you rather win the NCAA title, win National Player of the Year, and go as the number one pick in the draft, but have all of your accomplishments vacated when it is revealed you were paid $150,000 to play at your school, or go to the pros straight from high school as a mid to late first round pick?
So in the first scenario, nothing is guaranteed after you get drafted.
Yeah.
Did I hear that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And the same is good for the second scenario.
Yeah.
Well, for the second scenario, you'd have to get a rule change in college basketball, obviously.
Okay. Yeah. I'm just saying in theory, theory, if this was possible.
Yeah. I think I'd take the money.
Mm-hmm.
I would go number one, win the national title, all that garb. Yeah. It'd be worth it.
I think so too, probably.
I think
it's the same thing I just said before. Like, people don't forget. They'd still remember.
Exactly. You'd have all those memories and stuff. And even though a banner's not hanging, you can still tell your children about the time that you won the national title, you know? And you'd get $150,000 while in college. How bomb would that be, you know?
Right. You'd get paid more if you went to the league, obviously. But I guess it would depend on what you were wanting.
That's true, I guess. I want to start my college degree.
There you go.
That way
John Wall's going back to finish his degree this summer.
That way, yeah, exactly. After my NBA career is done, I only have, what, 2 or 3 years to go probably. So.
Yeah. There you go. I'm sure that would be high on your list of priorities.
Yeah.
Would you rather – okay. This is an all-out Iowa Stater one right here.
Okay.
This is a hardcore one. Would you rather walk straight across the Zodiac 5 minutes before the biggest test of your life or complete the Curtis DeBeercher run?
Ooh. That's Iowa State traditions. I would rather walk straight across the Zodiac 5 straight times. And I'll tell you why. Because I failed tests without walking across the Zodiac. So that was an easy one for me.
That's fair. I think my old roommate was an architecture major. Mm-hmm. And he had to study like a lot of the buildings and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me one time about the Zodiac, that when they put it in there, the reason that it's like raised, because, you know, it's not like the actual symbols are not flush to the floor, is because it was supposed to wear down as people walked over it. And then people took that as you shouldn't walk over it, you know. And now, like, you know, that's what the myth is.
Gotcha.
You don't walk over
so
the Zodiac.
So they're still raised because no one walks over it.
Exactly. And they were actually like, they were purposed like to weather over time.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was an easy one for me. But would you do differently? Would you do the Curtis DeBeercher?
I don't know, man. I don't mess with stepping over things like that.
You're
I don't think I ever once stepped on the Zodiac.
So, did you ever play baseball? Did you step on the baselines ever?
Not before a game. Can't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, do you have any pre-basketball game superstitions?
No.
Yeah.
You didn't
listen to like a specific song before every game or something like that?
Not really, just because it changed every year, like what song I wanted to listen to.
Fair enough.
Right before the game.
All right.
You know. No, I mean, I can't really think of anything that sticks in my mind.
Okay.
But I don't like the idea of walking on the Zodiac. When I was at Simpson, there was the seal. You didn't walk on the seal? I didn't walk on that seal.
So it's like it's...
I'm not chancing that.
You don't want to like piss off a higher power.
Well, there's just too many years of juju there for me to mess with, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not going to be the one to go against that.
I'm fine with that. Me personally, I'll walk over it every day. I don't care. I'm going to fail test anyway.
You're a daredevil.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in the same room as you when you do that. All right. That's all we got for this week. No bad beer, like I mentioned earlier. Good show, dude.
Good to talk it over.
Yeah.
Get some of these bad feelings off our chest.
Hopefully we can be happier here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah. Like hopefully, well, in the next few weeks, we'll get to talk about Alan Lazard going to the NFL draft, hopefully.
Yeah.
That'll be good.
We might have to record on Monday next week, and then we'll save it and post it on Tuesday.
Sounds good.
Because I will leave it for Kansas City on Tuesday morning.
Fun old times. Hilton South, definitely going to be good. I mean, it's not going to be as good as the last few years, but it'll still be.
Yeah, still should be fun.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll still be a lot of Cyclone fans there.
Yep.
We'll be hanging out, hanging around down there in KC. What else do I need to plug? CF Radio, tomorrow night, 6 to 7, 1460 KXNO. I think this might be the last CF Radio show of the year.
Oh, really?
Actually, I don't know that for certain, but I think so.
Speaking of the radio show, one more thing before we close. Last week at the recruiting party, Tom Hyde and is it Jake Foss?
Jake Foss, yeah.
Yes. Both came up to me, and they made fun of how I say Campbell.
Yeah.
And I just said it.
Yeah, why do you say that?
I say the P, and you know, I went on to YouTube to try to like find evidence to prove that I'm saying it the right way, and I proved myself wrong. It's supposed to be Campbell, which sounds so, like, for me, when I say it, it just feels and sounds so weird.
It's not Campbell. I can't even say it like that, dude.
Campbell, man. You say C-A-M and then, like, pull.
Yeah.
But no.
It's Campbell. Yeah.
I've been saying it wrong, and I apologize. I've been hurting people's ears this entire time, and I admit that I was wrong.
I'm glad that Tom and Jake were able to allow you to see the error of your ways.
I will try to be better in the future.
That's good.
That's my motto. Hashtag be better.
That's good. All right. Thanks, man.
Good to talk.
Talk to you guys again soon. Thanks for listening.